three active scintillating interviewees, Ashia Lane, Tracy Turner, and Shannon Hoagland.
Great. That was awesome.
And they are here to talk about the Sitka Community Theater, which is having a live radio theater production coming up Friday. Is that correct?
That's right. Friday at 7 o'clock, all Performing right. Arts Center.
And this is not the first live radio theater. This is, what, the second or third?
Right. This is the second one, and it was all started last year, kind of bought with the idea that we didn't want to do more than one huge production a year because it takes so much time, so much effort. And we thought if we did radio theater that you could actually perform on stage, it would be a way to bring in new people, people who've never acted before or haven't acted since elementary school. And it would encourage them maybe to take on something later, or it would just be a way to get more people involved in community theater.
Now, the nice thing about community theater, for those of us who don't memorize, is that you're reading a script?
Radio theater, you get to read off a script. It looks a little like the high schoolers' reader's theater, where you have the big black stand in front of you. Actually, I don't think they do reader's theater like that anymore, but how they used to do it, you have the script in front of you, and you're all standing on stage, and you're interacting more with the audience than with each other.
So let's see. Tracy, can you tell us what's going to be performed? Give us a little background on that.
In the first part of the evening, there will be four short plays, four works by John Longenbaugh, local Sitkin, who no longer lives here, but sent us these fabulous scripts. Really, really lots of fun. And then there'll be a brief intermission, and in the second half will be a reenactment of an episode of the show Suspense from 1955.
Ah.
And the story is Kaleidoscope by Ray Bradbury.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Now, what involvement do you have in this? Yourself.
Well, I am in one of the shorts by John. I'm in a play called Important Dates in History, and I play Mary Queen of Scots.
I see. Okay. Have you ever done radio theater before?
Yes, I have. In the sixth grade at Blatchley Middle School in Mr. Bob Shell's class in 1972.
You didn't happen to play Mary Queen of Scots in that one, did you?
No, I didn't. I think I played somebody who started a lawnmower.
Okay. Moving along. No. And Ashia, is this your first entree into live radio?
Yes, it is. I haven't done anything like this, but I saw the performance last fall and thought, wow, I can handle that. You don't have to memorize lines, and something that's kind of a quick put together but has a lasting effect.
So Shannon's, your precept is correct, that if you do this stuff and people see it.
Right. We encourage a ton of people who've never tried theater to try out, and we had, I would say, close to 35 people audition, and we cast I'd say 21 people, but, you know, we have 5 people on sound effects. And
really? 5
yeah.
people on sound effects?
Yes. Sound effects is the biggest role in the show.
Because is that what you're doing?
Ashia? I'm not. I get to read 2 different parts in 2 of the plays. But,
okay.
Yeah, our sound effects crew are amazing. They're coming up with these really fun and funny noises in the middle of the plays and throughout, and it's great.
Yeah, and we're having a lot of fun just watching what they come up with. It Gene Stolberg is kind of the director of the crew, and yeah, they're in every single play. They're the only people who have to be at every single rehearsal for both hours of rehearsal.
Now, do the sound effects people, is this a collaborative thing, making up how you're going to do that?
Definitely. I mean, we talk about what kind of they met with the director about possible ideas where the sound effects would go, and when the Sound Effects crew, you know, were listening to the play. The biggest one that they're in is Kaleidoscope. That has the most sound effects. And a Shia's play called Going, Going, which is kind of sounds like a big sail. And they're coming up with ideas for that. But Kaleidoscope is the 20-minute piece where, you know, it's set in space. And it just gives a lot of opportunities for kind of cheesy 1950s sounding sound effects. And some of them, you won't believe some of the stuff. I don't want to spoil anything here. But you'll see each piece like come up right before the effect. And you're like, oh, my gosh, what's that going to sound like? And they just, I mean, you have to first decide what it sounds like. And then it sounds different on the mic. So even though you think you know what this particular thing sounds like, it sounds really different once you have it mic'd and amplified.
Sure. So there's it's more than just a listening experience. It sounds pretty pretty physical and pretty entertaining.
Right. I mean, the reason we're doing it on stage is, you know, for you to actually see your friends and neighbors. But the other thing is, you know, we charge admission at the auditorium, so it's a way to pay for, you know, the very small cost we have. John Longabaugh's generously donated these plays to us to use. He's a professional playwright. He has a play going on right now in Seattle. Called Sherlock Holmes, and I think it's called The Case of the Missing Christmas Carol. It's a huge hit last year, and he's just finished a novel that of the same title that he is going to get, I'm sure, will be published since the play was so popular.
Now, I heard a little rumor before we opened the mics about John.
John Longabaugh, through the generosity of a few people in town, they've donated miles to get him up here, and he's... You know, I asked, I know he has a busy schedule. Is he excited about coming? And they said, yeah, he's really excited about coming. So even though I'm sure, like, I'm super nervous about having him see what we've done because, it is the playwright. The fact that he's really excited and the fact that he's been so supportive and he knew what we did last year and was still willing to give us more plays this year tells me that, he'll be super supportive and... So I'm excited to see him because he's a friend as well.
All right. Well, how about details now? Where do we get tickets and what time is the play?
The play is at 7 o'clock. The show lasts about an hour. We'll have a brief intermission to set up for Kaleidoscope between the two segments of the show. Tickets are Old Harbor Bucks, $8 for adults, general, and $5 for students and seniors. And you can get them at the door, too.
Okay.
And we'll have a reception afterwards. I didn't mention that.
So should people bring cookies or something?
Well, they can call me if they want to bring cookies. Yeah, of course. It would be very welcome.
All right. And how can they reach you?
738-0602. Yeah, I had someone come up to me today and said, is there anything I can do? And I said, I can't think of anything right now. She goes, how about, you know, treats for the green room? And I was like, wow, I didn't even think of that. That's a great idea. So, I love all volunteers. I will find something for you to do. 738-0602.
Okay. Even at this late date, if
even
you have
at
some
this
extra
late
time.
Date.
All right, very good.
At the Performing Arts Center, if I didn't mention that before.
Okay. So, that sounds like a very entertaining evening, and I'm sure that many people will turn out, as they usually do, for all these fantastic art and theater-type events we have around here. Ashia Lane, Tracy Turner, and Shannon Hoagland are in this morning talking about live radio theater presentation on Friday night at the Performing Arts Center here in Sitka. Doors open probably a little before 7, which is when... The performances are scheduled. And tickets available at Old Harbor Books. And, bring cookies if you want. There's a reception afterwards. All right. Thanks for coming in this morning,
ladies.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you.
It's 28 minutes past the hour, 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.
Support for Raven Radio comes from Steve Dahlquist, your Edward Jones representative in Sitka at 223 Harbor Drive. Edward Jones, making sense of investing.
Support comes from Alaska Pacific Bank and the ABA Educational Foundation, announcing Lights, Camera, Save, a video project for teens ages 13 to 18. Entry forms are available at any Alaska Pacific Bank location and online at alaskapacificbank.com.
Here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 28th of November, 2012. It's the birthday of Brooks Atkinson, born Melrose, Massachusetts, 1894, who reviewed plays for more than four decades for the New York Times. After he was done at the theater, he came back to the Times office, lit up his pipe, wrote the whole review by hand on a yellow legal pad, and as he finished each page, he would hand it to a copy boy to go and type it. It's the birthday of the writer and physicist Alan Lightman, Memphis, 1948. His first novel, Einstein's Dreams, made up of 30 dreams that Lightman imagined Albert Einstein might have had during the months of 1905 when he was working on his theory of special relativity. It's the birthday of the poet William Blake, London, 1757. He was little known in his own lifetime, regarded as a lunatic by most people who knew him, died in poverty at the age of 69. In 30 years, he had sold fewer than 20 copies of his Songs of Innocence and of Experience. But 3 years after he died, he was mentioned in a popular 6-volume encyclopedia of British artists. And then one of his admirers, Alexander Gilchrist, set out to write his biography. It was published in 1863. Blake had died in 1827. Life of William Blake, and it was hugely popular. And for the first time, thanks to a biography, William Blake was considered a major English poet. And it's the birthday of the novelist Rita Mae Brown, born Hanover, Pennsylvania, 1944. When she was in her late 20s, she wrote a novel, Ruby Fruit Jungle, came out in 1973, the coming-of-age story of Molly Bolt and her lesbian experiences in high school. The book was rejected by many publishers, finally printed by a small feminist publishing house, a few thousand copies. The book was not carried in big bookstores. It was sold by mail. It didn't get a single review, but it became a word-of-mouth hit, and Ruby Fruit Jungle has now sold more than 1 million copies. Here's a poem by William Blake on his birthday, a poem about an annual event in London when the orphans of the Foundling Hospital were marched en masse to St. Paul's Cathedral to sing. The poem entitled Holy Thursday. 'Twas on a holy Thursday, their innocent faces clean, the children walking two and two in red and blue and green. Gray-headed beadles walked before with wands as white as snow, till into the high dome of Paul's they like Thames waters flow. Oh, what a multitude they seemed, these flowers of London town. Seated in companies they sit, with radiance all their own. The hum of multitudes was there, but multitudes of lambs, thousands of little boys and girls raising their innocent hands. Now like a mighty wind they raise to heaven the voice of song, or like harmonious thunderings, the seats of heaven among. Beneath them sit the aged men, wise guardians of the poor. Then cherish pity, lest you drive an angel from your door. Holy Thursday by William Blake. That's the Writer's Almanac, sponsored by the Wall Street Journal Weekend Edition, offering articles from international writers about finances to art, food, wine, and culture. You can celebrate the weekend at subscribe.wsj.com/getweekend. And by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
broadcast of this program is made possible by Orion Sporting Goods, outfitting Southeast Alaskan hunters with a full selection of firearms and optics, federal ammunition, firearm safety gear, cleaning supplies, and more. Orion Sporting Goods in the Lakeside Shopping Center.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On the Tatsunshini River, near the border of Alaska and British Columbia, a songbird greets the dawn. The bird is a male pine grosbeak, a handsome bird with a pinkish-red head and breast. Pine grosbeaks are found across northern Europe, Russia, and northern North America. Except for a few mountainous areas in the Pacific Northwest and New England, most of North America's pine grosbeaks are found in Canada and Alaska. Pine grosbeaks are year-round residents of the north. As long as food is available, they'll stay in the north throughout the winter. They're relatively tame and often visit bird feeders. The bird's scientific name is Pinnacola enucleator. Enucleator basically means seed remover. Pine grosbeaks love seeds and will often eat the seeds from inside fruit like cherries or crabapples and leave the fruit. As the name implies, they also eat the seeds from pine cones and spruce cones. Like juncos, sparrows, and redpolls, grosbeaks are members of the finch family. And like many members of the finch family, male and female grosbeaks develop throat pouches in the spring, known as gular pouches. Pelicans are well known for their oversized gular pouch under their big bills. Grosbeaks develop their pouches temporarily and seasonally, and use these gular pouches to carry food back to their nestlings. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford. Sounds Wild is brought to you by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Program support comes from the Bayview Pub, soon to offer expanded features including 2 pool tables, 4 dartboards, added TVs, high-top pub seating, a live music stage, and a leather couch lounge. Updates on the December grand opening available on the Bayview Pub's Facebook site.
You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka, with translators K288CZ in Angoon, K296CX in Cape, K211BY in Yakutat, K211EP in Elfin Cove, K220BR in Tenneke Springs, K22CH in Port Alexander, K219BA in Pelican, and K211BG in Sitka. Raven Radio is funded in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission, and by members like you.
Support for KCAW comes from BP. BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska.
Good morning. It is just about 24 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock here on Raven Radio. And a quick check with our weather before we get to community calendar and the kind of muskeg message things. In the forecast from the National Weather Service today for Sitka and Port Alexander, rain this morning and then a chance of rain in the afternoon with highs around 46 degrees. And east winds 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusting to around 35 miles an hour later today. Tonight, rain is likely with a chance of snow, lows around 33 degrees. East winds 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusting to 35 miles an hour tonight. And Thursday, rain in the morning, mixing with snow, a chance of rain in the afternoon. Snow accumulations to about an inch tomorrow, highs around 36 degrees. And east winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Current conditions in Sitka, we've got a dropping temperature. It's dropped about 4 degrees since 6 o'clock this morning. It's now 43 degrees. We've got a wind speed of east winds at 12 miles an hour, gusting to 22. The barometric pressure is at 29.63. Visibility 10 miles under overcast skies this morning here in Sitka. Checking the tide book today. There was a low tide at 6:05 this morning of 3.8 feet, and the high tide is going to crest at 11:58 this morning, just a couple minutes before noon, at 10.8 feet. The last tide of the day is a minus 0.6-foot tide, and that will be at 6:49 this evening. Sunrise this morning at 8:11, sunset tonight at 3:29, giving us 7 hours and 17 minutes of daylight for this Wednesday, the 28th day of November already. Taking a look at the community calendar before we head back to National Public Radio's morning edition. Oh, we've got one muskeg message. before we do that. Snowy owls have been reported around Sitka recently. If you spot one, please call Dan Evans, as he'd like to get a photo of it. His number is 738-0236. And let's see, the community calendar, Mount Edgecombe Preschool is still having its wreath and garland sale.